Okay, Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. One verse apiece.
Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of God.
While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee still and understanding.
Which verse? 23.
At the beginning of the supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter. And consider the vision.
What does the word supplication mean? Anybody?
A synonym would be request.
Okay, good. Next verse, 24. We're reading to the end of the chapter.
77 are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
Okay, now that's sort of a general statement. Now he's going to go into some detail on that. Verse 25.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth and commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and their score 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in trouble.
Okay, before any next person reads, would you please say Messiah in English? Anybody?
God with us.
No.
Promised one?
What?
Promised one?
No.
Savior?
No. Starts with A-N-O-I.
Anointed one.
Okay, now somebody say it in Greek. John 1, 12, 41.
Christ.
Very good. Did you ever hear what John Lyman say that before? I think you probably have. Okay, so who are they talking about here? Huh? Well, yeah, but who? Actually, there are a couple people, including Cyrus, that were given that title. But who is this really talking about?
Jesus Christ.
Right. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, back in Daniel's day, and Daniel lived, how many years did we say? 535 years before the Lord Jesus was on earth. And God is saying that he's going to come and be, look at the verse. Okay, it doesn't say in this verse. Okay, let's keep reading. Would you read that verse over again, saying just so we can get continuity?
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth and commandment to restore the building.
I'm going to interrupt you again. Who was this man's name? We talked about it yesterday, or Sunday, starting with C-Y.
Cyrus.
Okay, so it's talking about something. That who prophesied that Cyrus was going to give orders to rebuild Jerusalem?
Nehemiah?
No, it wasn't Jeremiah. It was?
Nehemiah.
No, Nehemiah is the one that experienced it.
Ezra
didn't tell me. Nehemiah experienced it. Who actually prophesied it about 200 years earlier?
Daniel?
No, Daniel, we're talking here, Daniel. 200 years earlier, one of the major prophets, the major prophet.
Isaiah.
Yeah. Isaiah. Isaiah said that somebody by the name of, what was the nationality of this Cyrus?
Persian.
Gentile.
Well.
Gentile.
Gentile. I don't think he was a Persian, but I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that, so be careful on that. Okay, so let's go back and reread again. You get the context here. Daniel is being told that there's going to be this issue. Here Jerusalem is laying destroyed. Remember? Now, Nehemiah. In fact, it had just been destroyed in Daniel's day. And somebody said something about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of the people to go back. And that was a few years after this. Okay? Go ahead and reread verse 25.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth and of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even the troublous, in the troublous times.
Next. Who's going to read?
After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed.
27?
Oh. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination and that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
That's the end of the chapter? Okay. Okay, we've got all our math here now. Let's see if we can figure it out. Okay? You'll notice that I have a number of 69 sevens. What translation were you using?
NIV.
NIV, okay, and you used the word?
70.
Seven, and the old King James used the word?
Weeks.
Week, okay. Technically, the word is seven. It's a period of seven. And the old translator said, well, that's obviously a week. But the archaeologists have calculated how much would 69 be? How much is 7 times 7?
49.
Okay, now add a zero to that.
490.
Okay, take 7 off of it.
It's on the screen.
Take it at 7 off of it.
483.
Okay, and what have archaeologists found from the time that Cyrus gave, by the way, within the last 10 years, they have found a copy of this decree. Whether it was the original or a copy of it, it was from that date, where Cyrus actually said, you Jewish people can go back and rebuild your city. Okay, so from the time that Cyrus answered that until the Lord Jesus was crucified, was how many years?
483.
Yes. Now there's now that isn't that long ago. I mean, for you and I, yes, it's tremendous. But there are enough records have been found that they find out. Wait a minute. That actually is record. We can count that. We can go back and calculate, and that's how long it was from the time Cyrus said, you can do this, until the Lord Jesus was crucified. Now, where did we read that in the last 10 minutes? What did you read? Sometime until the Messiah, right? So right there it is, in plain sight in front of us. It's telling that after 483, now where do we get, why did we lose the 70. We started out with 70. Where did we get 70? It's right in front of us there. Verse 24.
77.
Now, wait a minute. You said it two ways. Repeat what you said very clearly.
77s?
Right. It isn't 77. It's 77s.
77s.
Okay. So, how much is that? 490. Okay? Okay. Now, we come down in the where we're reading here, and it says in verse 20, let's take 25. Let me read all of 25. We read it four times already. So you know and discern that from the issuing of a decree, who issued the decree?
Cyrus.
To restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah. Who is that?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And why do we say Messiah here and in the New Testament it's Christ?
Because that's what all the other prophets, like the Jews knew him as the Messiah.
Why did they call him the Messiah?
Because all the prophecies refer to him as the Messiah. So
because there were other people that they called Christ, like King Cyrus and other people.
Well, that's not the answer I'm looking for yet.
Greek to Hebrew or Hebrew to Greek?
What?
Does it have to do with Greek to Hebrew or Hebrew to Greek?
Very good. Which is Greek? Which is Hebrew and which is Greek?
Messiah is Hebrew and Christ is Greek.
Very good. And what's English?
Anointed one.
Anointed one. Very good. Okay, now I'm going to stretch your mind a little bit. Where is the first place in the Bible where God tells somebody to go back to the anointed place?
Abraham?
No, you're pretty close. What?
Jacob.
When Jacob.
Jacob
what?
Goes back to Bethel.
What? what did God say to Jacob?
To go back to Bethel.
No, no.
Going to place.
Wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. You guys are closer than you're trying to joke about it. But no. First of all, God said, go back to the anointed place. Who poured oil on a stone that he made used for a pillow?
Jacob.
Okay. So way back in Genesis, he went back to
Genesis.
He went back to, you just said it, Bethel.
Bethel. Yeah.
What's the word Bethel mean?
House of. No.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, bread.
I know. Bethlehem is house of bread. House Bethel of is house of God. El is God. El.
What's the reference for Jacob, for God telling Jacob to go back?
Let's see who can find it first. It's somewhere around 38, Genesis 38. I don't think it's Genesis 38, but somewhere.
32.
Is it?
Isn't it right after he wrestles with God?
What?
Isn't it right after he wrestles with God?
It's 35 verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.
Okay. Okay. So, but we let's see if we can get back to what here. let's go back and get some of this together. Let's go back to verse 20, which we already read. While I was, who's the I?
Daniel.
Was speaking and praying and confessing my sin. The whole chapter 9 is talking about that. Okay, God, Daniel, tell me what sins are recorded of Daniel's.
None.
Very good. But he realized he was a sinner.
Well, and he says the sins of the people of Israel, and their sins were many, right?
So yeah.
It's like, I'm confessing my sins, also all of the people I'm related to in my nation, sorry for them too. And so that's maybe a reason why it took so long, right?
Yep. Confessing my sin, the sin of the people of Israel, presenting my supplication before Yahweh my God in behalf of the mountain of Israel, while I was still speaking, the man Gabriel, what was Gabriel?
An angel.
Right, very good. Who had been given a body. Okay? He's telling him, and my extreme weariness about the time of the evening sacrifice, he gave me instruction. Daniel had come forth at the beginning of supplication to command it was issued to tell you. And Daniel and Gabriel have a couple other incidents together. But anyway, we're talking here about a anointed one. Now, we said the first place the word anointed is used by Jacob, but then it's a few hundred years before somebody says that God is going to have an anointed person. And that mother was...
The mother of the anointed person, or the mother who said God was going to have an anointed person?
The mother who said God was going to have an anointed one. Yeah, when I say it, you'll say.
Elizabeth?
No, no, long, long before. Elizabeth was John's mother. Way back in the first chapter, or second chapter, verse 10 of Samuel. First Samuel chapter.
Hannah?
Very good. She's the first one that talks about God actually having an anointed one. Now, as I said earlier, Cyrus actually was called anointed. There's a couple others. But in fact, in John's epistle, we are called anointed. Okay, so what we're talking, let's just get going here. We're talking about the fact of Jesus being cut off. I've tried to make this line up with that, with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. So here it's hinted at that it's going to happen at a certain time. And archaeologists have calculated that to say we can calculate it down to the day. There's a couple people that argue about a week or something like that. But it's the archaeologists have predicted that, not predicted, analyzed and found out, yes, that is actually what the scripture says. So, okay. Now, we're not going to get into all the other prophecies of Daniel, but you notice what's missing in our number system.
The last period of seven.
Right. So, we come up to, let's move ahead here. We talked through all of these, but we get... Okay, there we are. And what is that little tiny period of time?
Which one?
Millennium.
Well, there's millennium. The millennium isn't on there yet.
The tribulation, because it's the last period of seven.
Yeah, right. And that's why it's called Daniel's 70th week. Now, on my chart, you'll see I hope we can get it. Tomorrow, we won't get it today. Okay, let's go. First of all, let's back up here. The fullness of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles. I don't have time to go through all this. I'm not even prepared to talk about it. But if you look at all the books in the Old Testament, they say in the seventh year of such and such a king. But after Daniel, it's no longer to the Jewish kings, it's to the Gentile kings. So they start counting because Israel was no longer a significant nation. Today it is, although it's a little tiny nation, probably about one-third the size of Missouri. It's that tiny, and yet it's in the news all the time because that's where the king of the universe is going to come. Back to. Okay? Let's keep going here. Okay. There's our 1,000-year reign. Remember? We talked about the difference between reigning and dwelling. Okay? Just as in the days of Noah. Would somebody read Genesis? Who is the next one supposed to read? Genesis 6:5. And then while you're looking up that, would the next person read Luke 17:26? And you read all that, 26 to 30. That's all we're going to read on this chart.
Genesis 6:5?
Look up on the chart here.
Luke what?
Pardon?
Luke what?
17:26-30.
Right up here in the chart.
Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that very inclination.
Very what?
Inclination.
What does the word inclination mean?
Being inclined.
Yeah, that's right. But you can't use the word. So you have, that's absolutely right. But don't use that word. Go ahead, Mary.
Something?
I mean, Sarah. I mean, anyway, whoever. You were gonna say it. What did he say? What did he say?
He said being inclined, and then he said
right.
Wanting.
What does it mean to be inclined?
Leaning towards.
Very good. Okay, now can you give me another word to clarify that? That's exactly right.
Wanting, desiring, pursuing.
Excellent. Okay. Okay, now go back and read your verse again.
The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.
Okay. How would you describe the world today?
Kind of getting the same.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, who's got
I got it.
Luke.
I got it.
Okay, well you've read already, so let's go back there. Go ahead.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Okay, so what is it saying there? Say it in your own words, just in a few words. Don't worry about all the technicalities.
When Jesus comes back, the world will be just like it was in terms of wickedness, like it was in Sodom, and then when the flood was coming.
Very good. Yes. Question.
Isn't it also talking about how no one knows the day or the hour? Where he's saying in Noah's time, people were going about their life like they had. In Lot's time, people were going about their life like normal. And then it happened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So everyone will be wicked, and it'll be.
So there won't be any indication, it's going to be today. Right. Okay. Let's read this real quickly. Down to Lot, living in Sodom. Well, Yahweh said, sin of Sodom and Gomorrah exceedingly grave. Lot came to Zoar and rained brimstone and fire. Incidentally, they found that area. What did I do here? Are we the next one, or did I wipe that one out?
You just hit the next one.
Okay. There. Okay. Yahweh of hosts, because you have not obeyed, I will send Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, and you will serve the king of Babylon. Okay, that's prophecy. By the way, look at some of these things here. The city of... there's a verse in Lamentations I laugh at every time I read it. Things were so bad that they had to pay for their water. See who can find that verse first. Anyway, here we are in Lamentations. Women eat their offspring, little ones born healthy. What does that make you think of? Offspring is the children of. That's literally what it means. Sometimes the word is used seed. the seed of Abraham, that would be the children and grandchildren and great, 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 great grandchildren of him. Okay. What does this verse here in Lamentations 2:20 give you thought of, people eating their children?
Well, it actually reminds me of a place, I think, in 1 Samuel, where there's a city that's under siege and the people are eating their offspring.
Yeah, that happened once before, you're right. But I'm thinking of something happening in the United States today.
Abortion?
That's what it reminds me of. The fact that here are living souls, eternal beings that are going to live for eternity, and they're just killed like their dogs or cows. Okay, let's go on. I know time is running here. We want to get on to a little bit more. Okay, timing of the rapture. We talked a little bit about this. Let's just go. So this is summarizing what we've just talked about here. Daniel's 70th week is God judging the world through Israel. Okay? Let's look at these verses, because what they do...
Real quick, Rachel found the verse regarding...
Oh, good.
Oh, it's 5:4.
Read it, please.
Oh, okay. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can only be had at a price.
Okay. Do you ever buy a bottle of water?
Yep.
Okay, here. What we want to go back to, now we've talked about the timing of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, that God knew exactly when it was going to happen. And that's when it happened. Archaeologists have verified that. By the way, a lot of these archaeologists are people that don't even believe the Bible. But they're finding the data. And then people who believe the Bible say, this is what you presented to us, and this is what the Bible said. You wonder how these archaeologists can continue to deny the Bible. The reason I want to bring that out is sometimes you'll hear people say, well, that's Bible knowledge, and this is scientific knowledge. If the scientists are honest, it's going to be identical. I mean, there's no two sets of knowledge. Fact is fact. So don't accept Christians when they say, well, that's just our knowledge. The scientists don't agree with that. No, no, no. It's a big fact. It's fact or fact. Are you sitting in that chair or not? Or do I have to be a believer? And that's the thing, that real facts are real facts. Okay, let's go here. And what we want to talk about just briefly is the fact that the Old Testament said that the tribulation was going to be mainly for, let's just look at some of these verses here. Would somebody read and look these up as you get your assignment? Who's going to look up Daniel chapter 30.
Daniel will.
Who's going to look up Daniel chapter... Did I say Daniel? Jeremiah 30. Daniel chapter... Who's going to look up Daniel chapter 10 and 12?
Right.
You will? Okay. And who's going to look up Joel 2:2? Okay. And who's going to look up Amos 5:18? Did you have both of those?
No, I'm doing Amos. He's doing Joel.
Okay. Okay, as soon as you get them, I like to read them in order. But who's got Jeremiah?
Do you want to do Matthew 24:21 or no?
Go ahead. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
For then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. And
wait a second. Before you read any more, who's saying that? Is that commentary of Matthew, or is that actually the words of the Lord Jesus?
It's in red, so the words of the Lord Jesus.
Very good. Okay. Okay, read it again. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
For then there will be a time of great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again.
Okay, now how many times could be the worst there ever was or ever will be? Okay, so we're going to get that expression again and again. So it has to be, if it's right, it has to be the same time. Again.
And that was Jews specifically talking about the people from Judea, right?
That's right. Well, who is he talking to?
The Jews.
You have to really, you really have to read the whole chapter. He's standing there outside by the temple. Remember? If you read the first verse of the chapter, I think the disciples...
Verse 3 says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives...
Okay, so he's looking at Jerusalem. Have you ever been... How many have been to Israel? I was so surprised when I was standing on the Mount of Olives because I've seen these photographs of Jerusalem. I always thought they were aerial photographs. No, standing on there, that's the picture you see. It's that much higher than Jerusalem. Okay, so what's the significance of what you read?
Significance.
It's God, the Lord Jesus, talking about the Jews.
The Jews, or to his disciples.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now who's going to read Jeremiah 30? You got that, please. Okay, 4 to 7.
For these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? And all the faces turned pale. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it.
Okay, so what's that telling us? You were the one yesterday that told us about Jacob being... Who said that yesterday? Jacob is... What's Jacob's new name?
Israel.
Okay, so he's talking here about the trouble that's going to come to
Israel.
Okay, and what did you read? The Lord Jesus himself saying the time is going to be the worst. He's talking to the Jews, the Israelites there. Okay, who's got Daniel 10? Okay, and you're going to read 13 and 14, and then you're going to turn over to chapter 12 and read 1 and 2.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall of thy people in the last days.
Who are thy people? Who is this written to? No. Who's that book written to? Who wrote it? Who wrote it?
Daniel.
Who are Daniel's people? What nationality was Daniel? Anybody?
He's from Judah.
Yeah, he was a Jew. So we're talking about the same people. Judah is just part of them. Whereas Israel is all of them. Okay, go ahead. And then, did you finish 14?
No.
Okay, read it.
Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days.
Okay, now 12, 1 and 2.
And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, where shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
So again, it keeps talking about thy people, who are the Jews. You're talking about Jesus, talking about the people he's standing there were the Jews, and you said
that he was talking, it said Jacob.
Jacob, that's right, okay. Okay, who's got Joel 2?
It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor will ever be in the ages to come.
Okay, now, really, we're reading just one or two verses, and you really got to read at least the whole chapter, if not Joel, the whole book, to see really what this is. But again, it keeps saying the worst that ever was, the worst that ever was. Now, the Lord Jesus, do you think he knew what the worst ever was before? You know, yeah, those people, there never was anything like what he's saying. So all these prophecies are saying that it's going to focus on Israel. Else, other verses in the Bible say it'll cover the whole world, but it's primarily blessed, primarily be to Israel. Because if you go back to Deuteronomy, you'll find out there's never been a people on earth who had God speaking directly to them. Right? What about all these other religious books? None of them ever claim that God actually spoke to them. And here, God speaking to these under hundreds of years apart. What other religious book took over 200 years to write? None. And here we've got a book that took 1,500 years to write. And it, okay, who's got the last one there? Amos, yes.
Do you know how long for the day of the Lord? Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his head on a wall only to have a snake bite him.
Is that all five? No, just one verse. Okay. Okay. So we're talking again about this worst time, and it's always related to what country?
Israel.
This little tiny country. Okay. So let's keep going here. We got to get just a little bit more. I know we're on borrowed time.
So the verse in Amos that says, is it specifically talking to Israel? Like, why are you wanting God to come back? Because there'll be a day of darkness, not light. Is that implying, like, it's going to be painful for everyone, so we shouldn't be, like, wanting... Because it's common in this culture, right? People are like, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I can't wait for Jesus to come back.
Well, that's a very, very important question. Because how does the Lord come at the rapture?
We meet him in the air.
I'll repeat that again. I want everybody to hear exactly what you said. Repeat, how does the Lord Jesus come the first time?
Christians are going to meet Jesus in the air.
Okay. Now, what is this other event that we've been talking about?
The tribulation.
No.
The Lord. The day of the Lord.
Well, that's part, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But it's actually, they shall see him. And we didn't read the verse, but it talks about his feet coming down to the Mount of Olives, actually standing there. So we've got two events are called one, because the Lord Jesus does not come. Look at the verses we had yesterday from, or was it Sunday, in John 13 and 14, where the Lord Jesus said, I'm not talking to you like I talk to the Jews, but I'm going to come and call you to myself. Okay, that's the rapture, where we go up to meet him. Whereas all these other ones are talking about him coming down to the earth, which is 7 years later.
So
Okay? So the two, they're called one, but they're two events. One where we go up, and then 7 years later, after all this. And tomorrow we'll talk about what's happening in heaven while the tribulation is going on earth. Okay? Okay, let's go on. Okay, the Lord Jesus spoke to the apostles. This is what I just said. The Lord Jesus spoke to the apostles. No longer as Jews do I talk to you. I will go. I'll come back and take you to myself. Okay? Okay, remember the former things of old. This we already had that verse. Okay, I wanted to go through this today. We're going to have to very quickly. Okay. The fig tree is blossoming. Where was the nation of Israel 200 years ago?
Everywhere.
The opposite. What's the opposite of everywhere?
Nowhere.
Yeah, there was no nation of Israel until 1948. In fact, it wasn't until the 1800s that some Jews started to go back there. There was always a few, but there were practically no Jews there at all until the late 1800s. Okay? Days like Noah, we talked about that already. Turmoil among the nations. Last year, there was an article, I should have written this down. There were 132 wars, and they said, I think it was the United Nations that said that. And they said that a war has to be declared against another country, and that country has to acknowledge that they're fighting the one that said they were against war them. So all these riots that are going on, they don't count.
And that goes with the prophecy saying that there will always be war until Jesus comes back.
That's true. But the fact of how many of them, the fact that there were that many recognized by the United Nations, okay? Apostatizing from the truth. Now, how many of you have commented on that in the last couple days? Give me an example of apostatizing from the truth. Something you've heard. Give me it.
I have a friend who went through a huge change in her life and has always been a pretty firm believer who knows the scriptures and now believes there is no hell and says God loves everyone, so everyone's going to spend forever with him. So where she's like, I once believed that, you know, there's punishment for sin. Now she's to a point where she's like, no, I don't believe that there even is a hell at this point. And departing from sound doctrine and saying, no, I'm not associated with that truth anymore.
So you're saying that they've given up on accepting the Bible as accurate. I mean, whether they said it or not, that's effectively what it's been. Okay, anybody else?
I mean, the prosperity gospel is really common in America. People saying that they're not taking the Bible for what it is, or they're taking specific Bible verses out of context and saying, yeah, if you are a Christian, then life will go great for you and everything will be okay and it won't be hard and you'll get a lot of money from your job. Like people would say your life will go really well if you're a Christian, which is not what the Bible actually says.
Okay, very good. I know I've met people that... there was a lady, in fact, she still sends her kids to our Sunday school, and she said that they kept telling her, if you give more money to the church, you will get more. And like some other person said to me, if that was really true, why doesn't the pastor of the church just ask for money? I mean, you don't have to even open the Bible to find out the fallacy of some of this stuff that they're talking about. Okay. Attention to deceitful spirits. We were talking this morning on how to detect false spirits, because there are, 1 John 4 says there are many false spirits. We got to know how to detect them. You could drive up Broadway in Minneapolis and see, you can have your palm read here, you can have your tea leaves read there, and so on and so forth. Just big billboards advertising this. Difficult, self-centered times. Give me a verse in the Bible that says that things will be self-centered in the last days. Quick, find it. We got 4 minutes left. I'm over time, I know.
Can you
but
do verse on the screen?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:1-5?
Yeah. Read, they're just one of them. Just one of them.
The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to take, or if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task.
That's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy is, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without hope, or without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people.
Who do you think is going to take care of you if you don't take care of yourself? Come on, answer it.
Like me specifically?
Yeah.
What?
Rephrase the question.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to take care of you if you don't take care of yourself?
Take care of...
It's just like what my dad says at his job. If you're not willing to try, he's not going to help you.
Yeah, but who's going to take care of you if you don't take care of yourself?
When you say take care of, do you mean like Jesus is going to provide for us?
Is he?
Or keep us safe?
That's what he's asking you.
What? I didn't hear what
I'm
you...
I'm confused what you mean by take care of.
Well, I know you're still a teenager, you're living at home, your dad brings home food for you, and he is paying either the rent or the mortgage and the taxes for the house.
Hold on.
About that.
No, stop.
Sorry, yes. Sorry, keep going. We live at a Bible camp, and the house isn't ours, and yeah.
No, yes.
So, I get what you mean. Keep going.
Yes.
So, who's taking care of you?
Right now, it's mostly my parents.
Oh? How do they be able to take care of you?
Work.
People send donations to the camp.
How are the people, why do the people send donations?
Well, I'd like to think it's because they're trying to do what Jesus asks them to do. But like you said...
Is it ultimately...
Christ is...
It's Christ
inspired. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he can do a better job?
Yes.
Can
yeah.
God do a better job than you can?
Yeah.
Yes.
You really can?
Yes.
Okay. But now, your comment, the fact is that God gave them, but they still have to do something, right? But it ultimately comes from God. We got to acknowledge that it's from God. Well, we're over our time. Would someone close with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to study your word. I pray that we would not lose sight of your coming back, because you promised that you would in your word. I pray that as we go through this week, that we would be glorifying to you. And I pray that we can all have a good rest of the day. Amen.
Amen. Okay, tomorrow, I should get a booklet out. Let's see, we got it right here. We'll start on the events in the tribulation, the rapture, after the rapture. Okay, what did I do in my book? Come here, it is. Okay, let's see. That was page. Okay, we'll be on page 10 tomorrow. Yeah, we finished page 8. Did we? Okay. Very good. The thing is, God is running this place, and he's telling us